Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. So that's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate On Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate On Air.
What's going on, everyone? You guys know I have a great passion for entrepreneurs. And I'm going to admit that I probably even have a more so passion for women entrepreneurs. I am pumped to have a fellow lady boss on the podcast today. Welcome, Lisa Cole.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
Girl, I am so excited for you to be here because, you know, it's funny because you've been crushing it on real estate. Those who follow you obviously know. And if you guys aren't following Lisa, you better follow her. But she's been crushing it in real estate. And it's so easy to people assume, especially when you're first getting into a business, whether it is real estate or just your own business breaking off, it's so easy for people to assume that they can't do it because they're not, quote unquote, they're not Lisa. So let's talk about your journey and then like leading up to the professional that you are today. And I would just love to share that with everyone listening in.
I'm from a big family, so I'm one of eight kids.
Wow, that's
So I'm number three and just had a really awesome, you know, upbringing and really great family life and all that good stuff. And I think I always wanted to like, I think when I was in high school, I was always thinking like, okay, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but, you know, I want to get into a business and just like work my way up in the company is how I thought I was going to do it. And my big thing when I was in high school was my friend and I, we were going to go to California and we were going to be MTV VJs and we were going to have so much fun after we graduated. And things kind of shifted a little bit because I actually got pregnant when I was a senior in high school.
So that's incredible because like I can totally relate to that. I was always one of those people. I'm like, I'm never going to have kids until I'm 30. And then you know what? I am going into my senior year as a mom.
Really? Same thing. Wow. Okay. So yeah, I mean, it was like midway through my senior year and you know, I was the one that held out having sex because I had the Catholic mom and she was like, you know, you can't, no birth control, no sex, you know, no pregnancy before marriage. So I was the one that held out and it was like the first time I did, I got pregnant. So it actually was like the best thing that ever happened to me, my Nicholas, because he really just got me to just kind of realize what was important in life and just kind of get grounded again, because I think I was kind of just all over the place and just having so much fun and all that good stuff. So yes, my Nicholas came along and after I graduated high school, I got married. And so I was 18 when I got married and my husband was in the military. And so we lived in Washington State and we lived in Kentucky and that's where my Bella was born. So, I was 21 when I was pregnant with Bella and that was just like the irony in and of itself, because here I am finally legal age, you know, to drink and I couldn't drink. So that was funny, but no. So then, you know, we had Nick and Bella and we ended up, he got out of the military and moved back home and it was like, okay, what are we going to do? You know? So I actually got a job as a full-time condo association manager. And so at that time, I think Bella was like maybe one and Nick was three or four. And my husband was going to the police academy, so I would work during the day and he would go to school at night. And so I was kind of like the breadwinner for a minute. And I just remember the moment where I came home from work and I went to go, you know, reach for Bella and she wouldn't come to me. She wanted to stay with Jason.
Oh, and
I was like,
so tough.
Oh, that was like, no, absolutely not. This is not happening. So I was like, no, my babies are only young ones. I am not being this like working mom where I never see them and she doesn't know me. So I ended up, you know, just, you know, quitting and I like sucked up my pride and I started cleaning houses. So I was cleaning houses like three times a week And it was like kind of like embarrassing for me. And, you know, I wasn't proud to be a cleaning lady, but I was also making like $20 to $25 an hour. So I got to like work 12 hours a week, make more money than I did as a manager. And I got to spend all my time with my babies. So I did that for a few years. And then my husband was like, okay, the kids are about to go to school. Like, what are you going to do? And so that's when I decided to get into real estate, because his aunt was actually a really successful agent in Los Angeles. And I really looked up to her, and she was always telling me, you know, I'd be amazing in the business. Like, you know, I'm such a people person, all that good stuff. So yeah, that's when my journey into real estate began.
That's amazing. And I think I can totally relate to so many different stories you just kind of briefly told us, but you know, when you're having kids like so young, especially whenever like it's not planned or intended, like it really helps. It almost forces us to grow up. I mean, I obviously know women, like we mature quicker than men, but you know, it makes us grow up, and it makes us think about like the stuff, like, you know, especially in those developmental years that you think is so important, like what people are thinking of you or what clothes you're wearing. You're now focusing on a little human that's like dependent upon you. You know what I mean? Like that's going to shift your focus.
Right.
As caregivers, it really changes, because I can totally relate. And I know any other teen mom listening in could say, like, you know what? Yeah. Like at the time it totally like sucked that it wasn't part of the plan. But looking back, it's like, I could never imagine like my Zachary not ever being in my life. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. And exactly. And I recognized it like when I was in the midst of it, because when I did go out with my friends, which was rarely, maybe once a month, maybe, you know, once every other month, I would go out with them and I was like, oh, I'm not missing anything. Like,
yeah.
I felt like they were looking up to me going, wow, you have this, like this beautiful family and this husband and everything like that. And I feel like they were looking at me like, oh, you know, like I was the lucky one. And cause I think because I felt like I was the lucky one. So yeah, I mean, I always say like Nick saved me. Like he just really, I mean, even to this day, he always just brings me back around and just helps me remember what's important. So yeah.
That's awesome. So you suck up your pride and you take on this job that's like, obviously, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, what do you do for a living? And you're like, I clean houses. You know, unfortunately there's like that stamina with it. But at the end of the day, like who freaking cares what they think? They're not your kids. They're not your husband. It's allowing you, you're probably making more money than the person asking the question, all while you're having more time with your children.
So right. I'm at the pool with my kids. I'm having a great summer. Yeah. So it was all worth it for sure.
Okay. Awesome. So let's talk about like, now you're getting into real estate. Let's talk about like your first real estate, like your first year in real estate, because for me, it was super easy, not easy in the sense of like, I didn't have to work, but it was easy because my first and only broker was Jay Kinder. So like, that's all I knew getting into real estate. And it's always interesting because I'd love to hear how people, like how their first year went, because it's either extremely horrible or terrible. And it's all dependent upon who they find. So let's talk about like your first year in real estate.
Yeah. So basically I get in, I'm all gung ho. I joined this brokerage called, it was actually Smythe Kramer at the time. It's now Howard Hanna. So it's more like an Ohio, Pennsylvania based company. And so I did everything everybody told me to do. I was even knocking on doors, and nobody knocks on doors in Northeast Ohio, at least that I know of. I mean, I was doing everything, and we had just bought a house and we needed my income. And so I was making calls. I was sweating through like calling everybody in my database, like talking about real estate and, you know, all of that stuff. I just, you know, did all the things you didn't want to do, and it was just, nothing was happening. And so I think I was in the business for maybe just like a month or two, but I had to make money. So I ended up going to my manager and I was like, I can't do this. I have to go get a job. I have to make money. And he's like, you know what? He's like, now, he's like, there's no way we could, you know, let you leave. He's like, now that you came to me and you said you're going to leave, I can actually now refer you to this team that I've been wanting to refer you to, the Crockett team. So I was like, wait a minute. Cause I had read, you know, Gary Keller's Millionaire. What is it? Oh my gosh. how do I not know this book? You know, Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Book. Yeah. Millionaire Real Estate Agent. Or, yeah. And so David and Judy Crockett were in the back of that book. And I was like, oh my gosh, them? Oh my gosh. So he actually introduced me to them. And it was just like, from that moment on, it was just like the place I was supposed to be. So, I mean, they just took me under their wing. And at the time, they were the top producing team in the state. And I just did everything that they told me to do. And I ended up selling like 38 houses my first year because I just modeled them.
Which is phenomenal because like, I think the average real estate agent, this is average people who've been in the business is less than like 12, I want to say. It's not very much.
Right.
Like brand new, and I think that that's a big lesson learned too for people listening in. It's like, almost having that childlike mindset. Because when you're in your first job anywhere, you have that childlike mindset. You don't know what you don't know. So right. Whenever these majorly successful people, especially in a book like Gary Keller's, they come in and they mentor you and they're there to guide you. You just come in with that childlike mentality of, okay, like I'll do whatever you tell me to do because obviously you're doing something like successful with your life and you know what you're doing. And I think a lot of people like, you know, it's crazy because we almost get like, we almost like harden ourselves to like our ego or something to where we think we know it all of a sudden and we really forget the fundamentals. So like you've been licensed since, I mean, how long have you had your real estate license?
Since 2003. So 17 years.
So 17 years. And I'll ask you this. Do you still make cold calls or do you still call people? Do you still do the fundamental 101 stuff?
Yes. So, actually not today because I have appointments all day, but yeah, I mean, last week alone, I prospected 10 hours. So yeah, I make those calls. And it's funny when you say the fundamentals, like when I started on the Crockett team and David Crockett gave me my first prospect. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know what to say to these people. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? And he goes, just go make a friend. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And so literally that was my first sale because I just made a friend and that was my training. But to this day, that's exactly what you're doing when you're making those cold calls, when you're calling those people who are selling by owner, you're making a friend. You're trying to find out, hey, can I help you? You know, maybe I could sell your house for more. Maybe I can't, you know, maybe I could help you with some suggestions on staging or, you know, let me see what I can do. And just making that connection with them, they open up to you and they feel like they don't feel like you're trying to push anything on them. They feel like you're actually coming from, you know, that good place. So it makes a difference.
That's so good because I think especially in sales, I'm talking to all you salespeople out there. We are so focused on numbers and metrics. We're so focused on, oh, I got to make, you know, 100 dials. I got to make 10 appointments. I've got to make one, you know, 5 contracts. I got to put, you know, close one sale a week or whatever your numbers are. But that's what they are to you is numbers. And that's how people get so burnt out so fast. I mean, you've been in real estate since 2003. So obviously you're still active in the real estate. And I think that's essential when it comes to like how successful you've been is because you're not, I mean, obviously you're focused on numbers, but you're not solely focused on numbers that you get.
Right.
You're also focused on cultivating relationships, changing lives, making an impact. I'm sure that has a direct, you know, impact on your mentality when it comes to your view on real estate and the whole real estate profession that you do.
For sure. I mean, our clients, that's part of the reason why, you know, I love having my own team because I can kind of just like infiltrate my mindset of, you know what, our clients are, they come first and we treat them like gold and we treat them like how we would want to be treated. And we treat them as we would our very best friend. And I really look at my clients that way, you know, and I talk with my clients that way. And I hope to keep that relationship with them after closing and, you know, as time goes on. So, I think that just, it adds more meaning to it all versus just closing the deals, you know, just putting the sales on the board. So
That's so good. So let's talk about, obviously, you know, you're coming out from a new agent. You have, I don't want to say all the time in the world, but you have a lot of time to focus on new prospects. But then as you get into the business or any business, you start to notice that once you generate leads and build up your pipeline, the time that you had to build up that pipeline kind of quickly disintegrates because now you're helping with home inspections. Now you're helping with showings. Now you're helping with coordinating closings. So let's talk about like what's made you so successful when it comes to productivity. And then like, what's kind of like your productivity hacks that you've kind of implemented into your daily schedule?
So, I mean, the biggest thing is really just setting your day up right, because if I don't, I am just in a fog and I just feel like I'm chasing my tail. So the biggest thing, well, I have my morning routine, which I love. So I set my alarm at 4:45 and I'm up at, you know, 5. And my favorite thing to do is hit the gym first if I don't have a lot of projects that I'm working on that require a lot of like intense brain activity. Like if I'm working with something, you know, with numbers, or I'm creating like a free listing guide or something like that, then I'm going to take my morning to work on that. But if I'm lucky, I'll be able to hit the gym first and come home. And then just really jump right into like what I call my hour of power. So usually from like 8 to 9, I am reading whatever my book is of the moment, and for at least 10 minutes. Right now I'm reading 2 because I like to read like a soulful book to give me that inspiration and everything like that. And then and I just started reading a business book as well. So I'll do 10 minutes of each. And then I used to meditate like for about 20 minutes with that Deepak Chopra and the Oprah app. I love those apps. I like bought so many of them and I do them. I've done them over and over. But I'm reading this book. I'm actually, again, for the second time, it's called Spirit Hacking, and it's by Shaman Durek. And it's the most amazing book. I think it might be one of the most amazing books, life-changing books that I've ever read. And one of his spirit hacks is to do this thing called fire scrying. And so I don't even know. I think the only person I told I'd do this is Bella, because I feel like people are going to be like, what are you doing, you witch? Like, what are you doing with these candles in your room, in a dark room with the door closed? But anyways, it's like really cool. So basically, the whole point of it is to strengthen your will, because it's kind of like, you know, just your, you know, when you focus on your perfect day or your perfect week, you know, you're kind of like operating at that level and you're attracting those things into your life. Well, the whole point of this is to strengthen your will and your focus so that you don't let things pull you off course. You're operating at a higher vibration and, you know, thereby just like attracting those things. And so basically what you do is you put a candle in front of you. And then you put one in front of that, and basically like north, south, east, and west. So there's 5 candles there. And you start off with 5 minutes and you stare into this one candle that's in front of you. And you just focus on like an intention or a feeling that you want to have or something that you want to create in your life. And you're supposed to do that, you know, 5 minutes. And then every week you up it by another 5 minutes. So right now I'm up to like 30 minutes. And so it's kind of crazy because basically it's fun for me because I just sit there and I'm basically like daydreaming about this amazing life that I want for 30 minutes. And so then after you're done with that, then you're just supposed to say this mantra about increasing the fire within you so that you can see in all directions, and you do that for 5 minutes. So that's my morning hack. Now everybody thinks I'm crazy.
I'm laughing because just as you said, you're like, what are you doing, you witch? That just cracked me up.
I literally look at these candles. I'm like, oh my God, if I ever told anybody I did this. I just told everybody.
That's actually amazing. Like, if you were to visually look at Lisa sitting down with a bunch of candles, yeah, it might look a little weird.
In the dark room.
Like, you know, but if you really think about it though, like it's just all about like bringing things into fruition and then like kind of like, you know, throwing it out there into the universe. And I'm a huge fan. And I know people are always like, oh, the secret's BS, this, that, and the other. Yeah, it's BS if you don't do anything about it. Like Everyone wants $1 million. Everyone wants to have the perfect family. Everyone wants to have the perfect life. But like, you know, you've really got to take time, like you said, and get crystal clear on what you want, focus in on it. But then afterwards, like Lisa, you go out and make it happen versus some people like throwing a fit because they're dealt a bad hand of, you know, cards in their life.
Right. I mean, it really just like, it elevates you. And it's just like, now everything that you do that's on your schedule for the day, I mean, it's for that purpose. And so it's just more invigorating, you know, to do it that way versus kind of like trudging through and just like, okay, prospecting and going on appointments and things like that. It's like you're building this life for yourself. So it's fun.
That's super cool. And you said that it, like that process that you discovered it, that was in that book. What book was
it? Spirit Hacking.
Spirit Hacking.
It's called, yep, Shaman Durek. He is the coolest, funniest guy. You should follow him on Instagram. And he's got a podcast too, which I haven't really gotten into listening to yet. But no, he's awesome.
That's super cool. So let's talk about, like, you know, obviously you have a bunch of productivity going on, but still, I mean, you've got to the progression of your life. You know, when you first start real estate, and I keep going back to real estate because like that's what I can relate to. Obviously you guys listening in, you guys can think about like, you know, first started your career, whatever you're doing now. But when you first start real estate, you get into real estate to pay, you know, essentially to pay bills or to do whatever. No one wants to just go to a job just to hang out. So when you first start, it's like, okay, you got to get sales. You've got to provide for your family. You got to provide for yourself. But then I feel like as the journey goes along, things change. You become more successful. Maybe you're starting to find that you're not as stressed about bills, but now you're looking at bigger picture. So let's kind of talk about like 2020, Lisa, and what's your goals this year? And then what are you doing to kind of set the pace for the year?
Yeah, I mean, so in, yeah, because that hamster wheel of just of selling, you know, it gets to be a grind. And I did get burned out about a year or two ago because I just was like, oh my gosh, how long do I have to do this for? I mean, even though I enjoy it and it's a challenge, it's a challenging job. It's intense too. And so I just didn't see really like an exit strategy. So that's part of the reason why I joined eXp is because when I was with KW, I was responsible for bringing so many agents over, and just because I loved the company and they would come over and they would name me as their sponsor. And so that was part of my passive income. And as you know, eXp is like that, but just to the nth degree. So, part of my focus this year is really just getting the word out there to more agents about eXp and how amazing of a company it really is, and just building that. And then the other part I've been wanting to do this for so long is to get into rehabbing properties and just owning rental properties too. So it's so cool because it's like one of those things where I don't know, I think you would believe in this too. It's just like, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that when things happen, you're like, oh, what a coincidence. No, that's like the universe synchronicity, just like winking at you saying, okay, you're on the right track. So I've been wanting to do investing for a while, and I'm just like, I don't know how to get started, even though I know the business, but it's like, it just seems like you have to have so much money to get started, and it's kind of a little scary, you know, when you think about it, there's a lot of risk involved. And so I just happened upon this Tony Robbins webinar that he had about investing. And so I signed up for it, and he had on Van Merrill, who is worth about, I think, $83 million. And he got there by flipping properties. So, you know, at this point in his career, he does like 10 to 20 at a time in San Diego. And Tony interviewed him, and it was awesome. And Tony's like, this is like, I've never seen a curriculum like this if you want to get into investing. So I immediately signed up for his, they had a weekend course, which was like the following week in Pittsburgh. So I drove to Pittsburgh, went to it, and then I just signed up for their mastery training. And so I've been doing that, and it's kind of intense because they require at least 15 hours a week of, you know, you putting it into the coursework and the homework and all of that stuff. But it's been really amazing. I've learned so much. I mean, you would think I would know, like I do know a lot of it in terms of like comps and things like that, but there's so much more to learn, and it's been great. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm just kind of taking the steps, to start my first flip this year.
That's exciting. I know that's what's, you know, I feel like we're soul sisters because.
Yes, we are.
this year, you know, I made the transition of becoming, okay, well, you know, instead of going into real estate, back into real estate as one-on-one, I'm going to go into it commercial because it's so much and it's all about like education and it's all about being competent. That's key in real estate is, and I don't think people understand like there's a lot, like, yeah, people that want to get in real estate because they want to make money fast and there's a lot of money to be made in real estate. However, you have to be competent because if not, like you can get in so much trouble, like so much legal trouble. So it's kind of nerve wracking too. Even like you said, after all these years, you're like, okay, I know real estate, but like when it comes to investments and deals like that, and I felt the same way with the commercial, but knowing that people have the opportunity and agents have the opportunity to invest their commission and become owners of multifamily apartments. Like to me, I'm like, that just collapses time. You don't have to keep doing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of, you know, single family residents. Like you said, it's rewarding and it's amazing. However, you know, you've kind of onto a different journey in your life to where you're like, now you want to make a more of an impact on more people. And how do you do that whenever your time's tied up with cold calling?
Right.
So that's so good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's like the end goal is to own apartment buildings and just get to that place where you work because you want to work, not because you have to work, you know, and then just do the things that matter to you.
I love it. Lisa, I appreciate all of your time and kind of sharing all your journey, what you've been up to. So for those listening in and they want to follow you and connect with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, my favorite social media platform is Instagram. So my handle is Lisa Cole Realty, and I'm on Facebook too. And you could email me at lisa@lcgrouphomes.com. And my cell phone number, I don't know if I should do it. I meant my cell phone number. I would say email me. Email me or social media would be good.
I love it. You guys make sure to connect with Lisa. She's amazing. As you heard, her journey's incredible. And I am so grateful to have you on today. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.